Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I heard one person replying.
Good morning.
Happy Resurrection Sunday. So let's turn to Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at the resurrection passage. I want to remind you, this is what Paul said in Romans. Romans chapter 4 verse 25, he said, "He who was delivered over," talking about Jesus, "delivered over because of our transgressions, our sins, and was raised because of our justification." You know what that means? That means the resurrection of Jesus Christ confirms that God has accepted His sacrifice on the cross on our behalf. Now we have a right relationship with God if we ask forgiveness. As simple as that. Jesus was raised for our justification. If we put our trust in Jesus Christ, His work on the cross, we will be called just in the court of heavens. That's the significance of resurrection. And today we are going to look at Luke chapter 24. And as I told, it's a huge chapter, 53 verses. But we won't go each verse in detail. But I'll highlight some verses. So please turn with me to Luke chapter 24 verse 17. I want you to look at Luke chapter 24 verse 17. And if you don't have Bible, CCC is a very generous crowd. They are ready to share with you. So please look into someone's Bible. Luke chapter 24 verse 17. This is what it says. It says, "He said to them," Jesus Christ, "what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" So there are two people walking to the village Emmaus, two disciples, and they were sad as they are walking. Jesus went and He's asking them, "What are the things that you are talking?" And what do you see? Luke writes, they stood still looking sad. And I'll give you the context. Jesus was crucified on the cross, died and buried. And now, these disciples were sad and they were returning back to their home. And verse 21, look at verse 21. Look at this verse 21. "Why are they sad? But we were hoping," talking about the Jesus, "that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened." And they say that some woman of our company went and then saw that the tomb was empty. So they were discouraged. They are discouraged. And look at verse 38. Look at verse 38. There is another group of people that's called disciples, 11 disciples. Look at their condition. Jesus says to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" So there are these two disciples walking back home after knowing that Jesus was crucified, died and buried. And they heard from women that He was not there in the tomb. So they were disappointed and they're sad and walking back home. You look at disciples, they were also hiding in a room. And they, as Jesus came in front of them, they were terrified. And Jesus asked, "Why are you troubled?" The situation here is their hearts were broken. They're sad. They're troubled. That's the situation. But what was their problem? Why are they heartbroken? Why are they sad? I want you to look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." The problem was, they are slow of heart to believe. They have doubts and questions. The two disciples walking back to Emmaus, they are sad because they are slow to believe. Disciples were troubled because they have doubts and questions. About what? About Jesus Christ. Who He is? What's His work on this earth? They don't know properly. And whatever is written in the Bible, they didn't believe. That's their problem. What is the solution then? Solution is to trust in the risen Lord. To believe in the risen Lord. The Lamb that carried the sin away from us by dying on the cross on the day of Passover. Have you ever experience this heartbrokenness? Maybe the car that you wanted to buy that you couldn't, marriage that you thought it will work out, didn't work, the promotion that you wanted, didn't get, you know, the college that you want to get in, you couldn't get, heartbroken. I don't know what problem you have now, this morning. I can tell you, the solution for your broken heart is faith in Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what the problem is, it leads back to the cross. We'll see that as we go through the scriptures. There is only hope found in Jesus Christ for this broken world. He alone gives hope to this broken world. As I say, I want to see what's happening in Luke chapter 24. That's our theme today. Trust the risen Lord. Trust the risen Lord. Put faith in risen Lord. And I want you to see the context of this chapter 24. Verse 1, it says, "But on the first day of the week, which is Sunday today, at early dawn, early in the morning, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb." Now, they were taking spices to the tomb. And if you want to know the context, body, as you know, will sting. So this woman, they were carrying spices, costly oils, so that the bad odor may not come from the tomb. Saturday was a Sabbath day. Friday was the day Jesus was crucified. They had to wait a day because Sabbath day they don't do any work. So early in the morning, Sunday, they're going to the tomb. But who are they? Who are they? I said woman, but who are they? Look verse 10. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Jonah and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. So, these are the women first went to the tomb carrying the spices. And they saw the tomb empty. Verse 3 says that, right? But when they went in, they did not find the body of Jesus Christ. And they were perplexed. And they went and told to the apostles. These are the women first went to the tomb. Bravest people. All the men, disciples, they were all scared and hiding in a room. No doubt. No surprise here. Women, the bravest, went to the tomb first to attend Jesus Christ's body. I want to stop there. And I don't know if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You might be here because of friend or family. I want you to know this. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fabrication, it's a fairy tale, if disciples have made it out, I want you to know, women had no status in the times when this was written and happened. And if someone want to make up a story, wouldn't use women as their first witness. Because women's witness is not considered. They didn't have any status. So if it is a fabricated story, they wouldn't have chosen women to write as they are the witnesses of Jesus Christ's resurrection. First and foremost. And look at verse 11. Verse 11 it says, "But these words seemed to be an idle tale, and they did not believe." This is apostles. When this woman ran to the 11 apostles and said, "Jesus Christ's body was not there, and we heard from the angels that he was risen," and all. And for disciples, it says it seemed to be an idle tale. It looked like a story for them. If disciples were really want to make up this story, they wouldn't have presented themselves as weak. If you know, whoever writes the history makes themselves as heroes. And you know that by watching news channels. You watch certain news channel, you know the hero already. So every news channel has their own idea. In the same way, if I'm writing the history, I portray myself as the hero. But if this is a real fabrication, disciples wouldn't have written like this. They themselves didn't believe. They themselves didn't believe. And they were hiding actually in the room. And not only that, after believing, you know what happened? They died. They were tortured. Tortured to death. But disciples carried the message of risen Lord faithfully. Now you can say there are many other religious groups, they give their lives. True. They give their lives because they believe the message they're carrying is true. If the apostles were carrying a lie, they wouldn't have died for the lie. You see, if it is a fabricated story, they wouldn't have died. All those people who die, the other religious groups, they believe what the message they are carrying is truth. And primarily, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is prophesied thousands of years before in the Old Testament. And that's what Jesus does actually. We'll see that today. But however, today my intention was not to prove the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see these disciples initially when they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They were heartbroken, sad. But after believing, how it changed their lives upside down. So from today's passage, we'll see three inevitable results of trusting the risen Lord. Three inevitable results of trusting the Lord. And the first one we found in verses 13 to 38, that's hope. Hope for what? Hope for redemption. Now, this word hope, we use in day-to-day language in simple terms like, I hope today's lunch will be tasty. You know, I hope you would come to my home. We use this very loosely, like a wish. But in the Bible, when Bible uses hope, it is the reality of the promises that are in Christ Jesus. It is hope for sure. In what? In redemption. I'm throwing a lot of Christian words. I will explain as we go. But I want you to look at verse 13. We'll start the story. Verse 13. This is what happening. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. Look at verse 15. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And I want you to observe this. This is an important observation. This is how Bible talks about God. I don't know what idea you have about God. God is the one who cares for mankind, who comes after mankind. I don't know if you have read Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned, who came to God? Who came to Adam and Eve? It's God who came first. Adam, where are you? He came to help Adam and Eve. God who cares. That's why Luke's theme comes from verse 19:10, which says, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to this world. Why? To seek and save the lost. He comes and finds his sheep. Okay, moving on. Verse 16. It says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing. We will see that significance later. But somehow, Jesus Christ prevented them to recognize him. And verse 17 says, he said to them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. So, pay their earlier condition. Number one, they're sad, actually. They're sad. They're hopeless as they walk back home from Jewish Jerusalem celebrations. If you know, they came to celebrate Passover. And after the festival, they saw Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And they were shocked. It's a traumatic event. Definitely, if anybody witness crucifixion of Jesus Christ, they will be shaken to their core. So they're sad and they're hopeless. They're walking back. We will see their hopelessness as they say in verse 19. They say this, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all people. And look at down verse 21. It says, we hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. But he was crucified and now we don't have his body also. That's what he said. So there is hopelessness. There is hopelessness in this people. But where do we see Jesus giving hope? That's the question that we have to ask. Where do we see Jesus giving hope? Look at verse 25-26. He said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and all the scriptures, he pointed them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. To give hope, Jesus took them to scriptures. He did an exposition. What did he clear? What did he clear about their thinking? Number one, their misunderstanding about who Jesus is. What did they say? They said, Jesus of Nazareth, prophet of God, mighty in deed and word. But they forgot one thing. Jesus is greater than that. He is God in flesh. He is the Son of God. They forgot that. What else did they misunderstood and underestimated? It's work of Jesus Christ. What did they thought? They thought he will be the one. We hope that he will redeem Israel. Now I want to tell you, this redeeming Israel, basically this word redeem means to set loose, to bring something into rightful position, to set loose and bring something into right position. So they were hoping that Jesus who's coming, he will come and redeem Israel. They were hoping for the political redemption. They were hoping that Messiah would come and he will help them to break the bondage from Roman government. They were actually helping a political leader. They were actually hoping that there will be less petrol prices, less taxes, you know. Their problems are not different than us. They were not expecting resurrected Jesus Christ. They were not expecting a Messiah who will come and die for their sins and will be resurrected and ascended into heaven. No, they were thinking that he will come to redeem Israel nation from the bondage of sin. They were thinking politically. They wanted a better government. Their problems are not different than us. They wanted a political hero. But what was their problem? As we have seen, they are slow of heart to believe. And Jesus Christ took them to scripture. He did an exposition from the Bible. He showed from the scriptures. About what? About him. Right? About him. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses, that is from Genesis, and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He did an exposition from the Old Testament. You know what happened after that? Look at verse 32. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? When Jesus was giving exposition, explaining about himself from the scriptures, they say, did not our hearts burn in us? And this is what happens. Hope rises from the scriptures. Hope rises from the scriptures. Their eyes were also opened. Look at verse 30 and 31. He took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. You know, God of Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, it says, to keep from them seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. You know how you will know if you are blinded by the God of this world? So to say, he's talking about the evil one, Satan. John 3:19 says, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and the people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Those who want to continue to live in this evil life, they don't come to the light. They don't come to Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus again helping them to see Jesus. He opened their eyes to see. So their condition was sad. Jesus Christ took them to the scriptures, talked about, explained to them who Jesus is and what his work is. And how did they feel later? As we have seen, their hearts were burning. And now I tell you, it's not acidity, it's excitement. It's excitement that very hour they went and told disciples. About this message. Lord has risen indeed, they say. Faith comes from hearing the words of Christ, said Paul in Romans 10:17. I don't know about your faith, But if you do an honest investigation about Jesus Christ, you will know that he is God and you will have faith. So I challenge you, pick up Bible and read. Pick up Bible and read. Probably you may be having this misunderstanding about Jesus Christ, the personhood of Jesus Christ, his work, his promise of resurrection. Probably you may be having the misunderstanding. You need to pick up the Bible this morning and read. Hope rises from the scriptures. And secondly, we see from verse 36 to 49, peace in the midst of chaos. Peace in the midst of chaos. So this disciples going to Emmaus, they were sad and hopeless. And Christ gave hope for the redemption. And number two, talking about 11 disciples, we see they were troubled and Jesus gives peace. Look at verse 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." Now, why peace? Look at verse 38. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts raise in your hearts?" So they had troubled hearts and they had doubts in their hearts. But Jesus promises peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. But how did he give peace again? Look at verse 37 to 43. Verses 37 to 43. What happens? Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise?" 39. "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And he showed to them his hands and his feet. Verse 41. While they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" So they saw by vision Jesus Christ, hands and feet, but still they couldn't believe that Jesus Christ resurrected. His glorified body they didn't believe. And he said, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him fish. They ate. But that also didn't solve the problem. But what he did was 44. Verse 44. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. When he saw the disciples who were sad walking to Emmaus, he pointed them to scriptures. And when they believed in Messiah, who he is, what his work is, why it is important for Christ to resurrect, they got hope. Hope for their own souls. Now here also, when these 11 disciples were troubled, what did Jesus do? He took them to scriptures. He took them to scriptures. Now, I don't know what your understanding about Christianity is. As you can see here, Jesus Christ opened their minds to understand, it says. Jesus Christ opened their minds to understand. Now, people tend to say, right, religion, faith means you have to keep your mind in the back of your seat because it doesn't require. If you want to study maths, you want science, then you have to have mind. You have to have thinking. But for faith, you don't need mind. But Jesus says he opened their minds to understand. Faith is a logical thing. Faith is a reasonable thing to believe. Bible multiple times encourages us to think, to open our minds and understand. Jesus himself in his teaching, when people are worrying, he said, are you worrying? Don't worry. Look at the birds. You see how beautiful they are? Think. God has decorated them. They're beautiful. Even look at the flowers. They're beautiful. Solomon, you know, with all his riches, the costumes that he wore, he was not that beautiful as these flowers. Think about God who cared for the flowers, who cared for the birds. He will definitely care for you. So don't worry. Bible encourages you to think. You need to bring your mind when you study Bible. It is a very logical thing. Faith is a logical thing. It is foolish to think that everything came from nothing. You need a lot of faith to believe that. He opened their minds to understand scriptures. You have to pick up a Bible and read today. Because if what I'm saying is true, Jesus is God. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, as Jesus said, you will die in your sins. And one day you have to give an account of your sins. And you will be condemned. There is no other hope than in Jesus Christ. Because he died on the cross bearing our sins. And resurrected, proving that all sins are paid. And I pray that today God will open your minds too. And he, going back to the verses, he says, verse 46, that is, thus it is written, the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. That is gospel. So what scriptures he pointed, what scriptures he made them understand? He made them understand the gospel. Number two, verse 47, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. How to appropriate this gospel? You have to repent for your sins and you will gain the forgiveness. You will be blessed with forgiveness of sins. You have to repent for your sins. That's how you appropriate gospel. And how it should be proclaimed? With the power of the Spirit. Wait until the Father gives you the promise. I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, verse 49. But you stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Scriptures. Whatever solution, whatever problem you have in life, the solution, you can find it in the scriptures. It could be marriage problem, it could be financial problem, it could be your work problem. Solution you can find in the Bible. Now you might ask, how? Why? You know, the sin has changed the world upside down. I remember reading this story. There was a group of thieves who went to the jewelry shop. They didn't steal the jewelry, but changed the price tags in the jewelry shop. And the next day when the people came, who thought they were buying the costly thing, they were actually buying the cheapest ones. And those who thought that they were buying the cheap ones got the costly ones. That's what sin did to this world. Sin has turned the world upside down. But if you go to the Bible, you will have the true sight of this world. You will have the biblical view of this world. You will have the right view of this world. Now we have, sadly, not in our country, they're making judges who can't even define who the woman is. You see how mad the world has gone? You make a woman judge who can't even define a woman. You see how the world has turned upside down. You go to the Bible. Bible answers in Genesis 1st chapter. God created man. He created them male and female. Simple as that. Any problem, you go to the Bible, you will find the solution. You need scriptures this morning. And people come and say, sadly, some of it is Christianity. There is a lot of emotional preaching from the pulpits that comes, makes the people not to think much. But actually, Christian preaching should come with a biblical teaching. It should give teaching about Jesus Christ and his view of this world. Sadly, some of it is emotional preaching. That's why the people are not educated. And you see in the Christian cultures also, groups also, people come and say, oh, I had the vision from the Lord. You know, I have to do this. You know, some God told me this. I want to encourage you. Bible doesn't talk about this. Even Jesus Christ, remember, they were prevented to recognize him. In the verse, when Jesus first went with them, they were prevented to see Jesus Christ, recognize him. You know why? Because Jesus Christ want to give them hope from the scriptures. Twice from this passage we have seen. When they're sad, he took them to scriptures. When they're troubled, he took them to scriptures. Hope rises from the scriptures. Faith rises from the scriptures. You need to have scriptures. Peter talked in 2 Peter 1, 17 to 19, it says, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Look at verse 19. But we have something more sure, more confirmed. What is that? The prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to the lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. talking about how Peter literally witnessed the voice of God from heaven, but he still says Bible, the word of God, more sure. My dear brothers and sisters, you should pick up the Bible and read. You should pick up the Bible and read. And finally, Jesus leads them to joy in worship to the risen Lord. 52-53. Verse 50 says, he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. You know, what are the first words mankind ever heard from God after creating? He created them. You know what he said? He blessed them. He blessed them. Genesis 1:28 says, he blessed them. God blessed them and said, multiply. We have a blessed God. God who loves you, who cares for you, who blesses you. And when he blessed them, verse 51 says, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. This is the ascension of Jesus Christ. This is Christ's exaltation. And disciples were witnessing Christ being taken up into heaven. He is going to sit at the right hand of God. That's the control room of this universe. They were witnessing what we will all one day witness when Christ comes back from heavens. They witnessed Christ's exaltation. They witnessed Christ's enthronement ceremony. Paul talked about this in Philippians chapter 2. Every knee will bow down. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of his Father. Well, disciples already witnessed that, Christ's exaltation. We will one day witness. And look at verse 52. It says, and they worshipped him. He led them in worship. That's why worship should focus on exalting Christ. When they witnessed the exalted Christ, they worshipped, they bowed down and celebrated. And as they returned, they filled with great joy. Joy. Joy in the worship. That's the third result of believing risen Lord. Joy in the worship of the risen Lord. But this is not a normal joy. It is a great joy. But why did all this happen? Because from the scriptures, they understood the purposes of God. They understood Christ should die for their sins and resurrect for their justification and should be ascended for the assurance. They understood God's purpose. They understood the prophecies from the Old Testament. They understood how God has answered the prayers of Elizabeth and Mary, how Simeon, Anna, everybody in the temple when Jesus was born were praying and thanking. They understood their prayers. They understood this message of the angels when Jesus was born. You remember the Christmas passages? Angels came and said good news of great joy. That's what they understood. That's why they had great joy. They understood that Jesus Christ now had to die for the sins of the mankind and should be resurrected for justification. Good news of great joy. When you understand God's purposes, then you will have joy. You know, you see Luke 15, last Friday we've already seen Jesus Christ's joy itself in Luke 15. When a sinner repents and turns, there is celebration in heaven. Luke 15, 5 to 7 says, rejoice with me, talking about the shepherd, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. If one sinner turns, there is celebration in heaven. And Jesus' own joy when you understand God's purposes in your life. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ resurrected? Do you believe Jesus Christ ascended into heaven? I challenge you to do an honest investigation. Throughout the history, thousands of years, many tried to prove him wrong and failed. With an honest heart, go and do a research. Look at the Bible and do the research. You will find the Savior. You will find the hope. You will find peace. You will find joy. And that's what the whole world is fighting for this morning. Hope, peace, and joy. which is found only in Christ Jesus Christ. The problem of mankind is sin, nothing else, and it is dealt on the cross. It's your heart is the problem, and Christ gives you a new heart. Resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know what it implies? That one day, for all those who believed in him and his work on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins, will be resurrected like him in glorified bodies and will not face the judgment of God. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins and you will stand in front of God and you have to give an account for your sins. What will be your answer? I want you to think of that. And I also want to encourage that there is hope in Jesus Christ. Pick up your Bible, read, and you will find the Savior. Let's close in prayer. Father, this morning we are really grateful. Thank you for the love that you showed towards us. You sent your Son. All our sin he bore on the cross. And he resurrected, paying all our sins. And now he's ascended into heaven, sitting at your right hand. We bow down to this risen Lord. And we thank you for opening our minds to understand the scriptures, for giving us faith to put in a risen Lord. I pray that for all the Christians here, that you will strengthen their faith in a risen Lord. And I pray that we will be hopeful people in this world. We will be joyful people. We will be peaceful people. I pray, Father, for those who don't know you this morning, I pray that you will draw them near, help them understand the gospel, and save them. Please open their minds, open their eyes to see the glory of Jesus revealed at the cross. We thank you for all the goodness that you're showing towards us. In Christ Jesus' name, Amen.